room, you can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
Okay, guys, I am super excited to welcome our next guest to Let's Get Freaky tonight. We have got Ryan Trembley. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm very well, man. I'm excited to talk to you. I know we're talking some cool stuff tonight. Cryptids,
oh, yeah.
Dogman, Wendigo, mm-hmm. Skinwalkers, yes. All the things we love here at Let's Get Freaky.
All stuff I love too, so...
So you're in Arizona. Yes,
I'm in just southern Arizona, Sierra Vista.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's cold there right now. It's not normally cold there.
It's only 45 degrees right now, so it's kind of chilly for us. We're all kind of sitting inside going, okay, yeah, no, we don't like this cold weather.
Yeah, so. That's too hot for us, man. We're not used to that. It's pouring a rain here as we talk in the UK right now.
Oh, bless you guys, man.
Yeah, that's very normal for us. So you are a cryptozoologist.
Yes.
How did that start, man? What got you into that subject?
Well, as a kid, I was always a monster geek. Like, you know, I was watching the Godzilla movies, Gamera, Ultraman. I was just completely taken by those things. You know, as a little kid, maybe like 5 or 6, I was always wondering, are monsters real? Could something like that be out there? Of course, you know, it was science fiction. But my dad, he was a Cajun guy. So he used to tell me all the time about the Rougarou and the wood boogers. And I was kind of like, you know, what are those, Dad? And so he finally sat me down. He's like, well, a wood booger is a Bigfoot. And he showed me the Patterson-Gimlin film. And right there, I fell in love. I was head over heels with Bigfoot. So I started checking out all these books from the school library, going to my local libraries, or watching anything I could on TV about Bigfoot. Like, you know, Million Dollar Man, when they had the Bigfoot played by Andre the Giant. I was like, yes! You know, I was watching stuff like that. So monsters were always a part of my life, you know, and I just fell in love with them, absolutely. And decided to dedicate my life to him.
Yeah, I love it. You got a cool dad, by the way.
He was a really cool dad. He used to mess with me as a little kid. When I'd go out with my friends, he'd be like, oh, don't let the Rougarou get you. You know, when I knew what it was, I'm like, oh, great, Dad. Now I'm not going outside. Thanks. So
The Patterson-Gimlin, that was one of the first, obviously, like most of us, that's the first sort of Bigfoot experience that we see. Right. And I was blown away by that. I remember seeing that in a Guinness Book of Records book when I was a little kid. And just being like, Mom, Dad, what's this? And like, they were like, that's real, that's Bigfoot. And I'm like, wow. And that sort of started off my fascination with the cryptid side of the paranormal. Yeah, I love it, man. Any cryptids, anything, you know, Loch Ness Monster, I love it all.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, once you start with one, it's kind of like, you know, Pringles. You can't just stop with just one.
Yeah.
You're going on to Loch Ness Monster, Jersey Devil, you know, anything else you can think of. And it's just, you know, it envelops you. It really does.
Yeah. And there's so many. There's so many all around the world.
Yeah.
And what I just find fascinating is that there's so many around the world, but they're all very similar. They've all got Bigfoot is everywhere around the world in culture and tradition, in history. Correct. Dogman's everywhere all around the world. These things, you know, for whatever reason, that they're out there, man, and our ancestors have recorded them, and they've just passed down
absolutely
to us right now talking about it.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because, you know, you look at the historical stuff. Like, I study the native lore, the, you know, the oral traditions of the different tribes, and when you look at that, you know, I always wonder, how can people deny these things are real when all these tribes were talking about them?
Yeah. 100%.
You know, and they're so similar that you got to stop and wonder, how do we not know that they're real? I mean, they are out there. Given all this oral tradition, all these tales, there's something there.
100%, man. You look at the Native Americans, all the different tribes, they all had their own names for the Sasquatch.
Yes.
And there's so
Yes.
many. I saw a list the other day of all the different names that the Bigfoot is called in the native culture. And
Oh
there's
yeah.
hundreds.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's almost endless. You know, you look at
Yeah.
the whole list, you're just like, oh my goodness. So, I mean, that right there, that should be verification. In my mind, that is verification. So,
Yeah, for sure, man. So have you seen a dog man? Have I got that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Wow. Wow, brother.
Yeah,
I'm
and
excited to hear about this.
it was so unexpected too. I mean, ironically, I did not believe in Dogman at first. Like, I read the stories from Linda Godfrey and I heard, you know, different podcasts, but I was kind of like, you know, a bipedal canine, seems a little far-fetched. But when I was watching my friend's house one day, because he and his wife went away on vacation and he asked me to house sit. So I was like, yeah, you know, sure, whatever. And one night in October, I went to go do my midnight checkup. And yeah, there was a little surprise waiting for me back there. So, and I can tell you the whole story. What was happening is he's got a two-story house, right? And his backyard has that wraparound patio. And it was at the foothill of a mountain in Arizona. And like it leads up on the other side. There was a riverbed, okay? And there was a tall gate there, but you know, animals have been known to come across it. So as I'm walking up his walkway going on the side, I hear all these coyotes and they sound really, really nervous. And if you grew up around dogs or coyotes, you know what they sound like when they're anxious. And so I'm just kind of sitting there going, you know, that's weird. There must be something else in the area. And I figured maybe like a mountain lion or whatever. And as I'm rounding the corner where it's really nice and dark, you know, convenient for this dog man, I hear this deep, deep growl. And it sounded like nothing I have ever heard. I mean, it didn't sound like a bear because I've heard bears before. I grew up in Massachusetts. So, you know, going in the woods, I've heard bears. Didn't sound like a bear. It did not sound like a mountain lion. So I'm going, what is this? You know, and my first instinct was, okay, somebody's messing with me. So being only 5'9½", you know, I tried to puff up like that little puffer fish and I made my voice deeper and I'm like, hey, I'm trying to scare off whoever was there because I thought maybe it was a vagrant or maybe some kids messing around. It goes quiet for maybe about 10, 15 seconds. So I keep walking to the backyard. There's another growl. This one's deeper and this one sounds a lot closer, mind you. You know, so the hairs on the back of my neck are going woo, woo, woo. They're standing up. And I'm looking around and I don't see anything at first. So I'm like, okay, this is a fluke. So when I get to the backyard, though, there's another growl. And this one sounded extremely, extremely close. So I just kind of stopped. And as I stopped, the security lights in the back turned on. And when they did, I saw this amber glow, two amber circles staring right at me from underneath a tree. And I'm looking like, what is that? You know, and I didn't really make much of it until the eyes started to move and it raised up like it was on two legs. And yeah, as I got closer, I saw that the lights were actually kind of, you know, let me see details now. There was something that looked like a bipedal hyena. And, you know, I knew there was no hyenas in Arizona. I'm going, you know, what is this? It's not supposed to be here. What is that thing? And well, not only did I see it saw me. And so it's got its eyes locked on me. And I can feel just the stare. I can feel it like, oh my God, this thing knows I'm here. I'm in trouble. And I hear a low growl. Like it's not a vicious growl. It almost seemed like, you know, a surprise growl. Like, you know, it wasn't expecting me to be there. It was like, what are you doing here? And so I keep watching. And it steps forward a little bit. And all of a sudden, it does a bluff charge. But this thing stops on a dime. It stops on a dime, dude. It's like, you know, breaks like that. And it's just looking at me. I can see its head tilting side to side. Its ears are going up and down. And it's staring at me. I'm trying not to make eye contact. I'm like, no, this is a predatory animal. Don't make eye contact. And, you know, my brain says run, but my body goes, yeah, hell no. We don't know what this is. We're not running. So I just keep staring at it. It keeps staring at me. After maybe like 5, 10 minutes at most, it starts to back away. And as it's backing away, I can hear it rumbling in its throat, like a kind of thing. And it just keeps backing off and it turns around and it walks down where the opening of the gate was to go into the riverbed. And I swear, in that moment, I grew wings on my feet. I bolted up the stairs into my friend's house. I'm closing his back door. I'm locking all the doors. I'm locking all the windows. And I call him up on the phone. I'm like, hey, dude, there's a hyena in your backyard. And my friend, of course, you know, he's like, what are you talking about, Ryan? There's no hyenas in Arizona. And I told him, I saw a bipedal hyena, dude. There was one out there. So he came home in the morning, and sure enough, where this thing was standing, we could see the scuff marks from where it was kicking its legs. And
Wow.
so he believed me from right there. And right there, that's when I was like, Dogman is real.
Yeah.
That was my experience with the Dog Man.
Wow, man, that's incredible. So it got close to you.
Yeah, when we measured from where I was standing to where it was 15 feet away.
Man.
Now, think about that distance.
Wow.
That's not a great distance. That's
No.
not far at all. And if that thing wanted to get me at 15 feet, there's nothing I could have done about it.
Did you get a sense that this thing was, well out of, you couldn't stand a chance against this
No, I
creature,
couldn't.
if this wanted to, yeah. Man, it must
I
have been
think it was
terrifying.
curious about me. I think it was just as curious as I was. And I think it was
Yeah.
kind of looking at me like, well, you're not supposed to be here. Nobody's supposed to be home. All the lights were off until you showed up. So I don't think
Yeah.
it really meant any like danger or any violence towards me. I think if it did, I wouldn't be around to talk about it. But I think it was just really kind of, it was scared like I was. I think when I showed up, I scared it and it was trying to scare me in return. So,
Interesting, man. And it bluff charged you, came
Yeah.
towards you.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. It dropped to all fours. And the best I can describe it is it was knuckle running. Like it wasn't running on the pads of its hands, but the knuckles. Like it was just running forward. And
Yeah.
I think when it saw I wasn't going to run, it was like, well, this guy's smart. It's not going to run, so I don't have to chase you. And he's not pulling a gun, so he's not a danger. Maybe he's just stupid. He's standing there. So maybe I'll stand back up. So that's what it
Yeah.
did.
Wow, man. When this creature was standing, was how tall would you say it was?
I said maybe about 6, 6.5 feet, which is still taller than me, you know. So when you see something standing up at 6.5 feet, that's a lot taller than you. You're like, oh my
Yeah.
God, you
Yeah.
know, you think your
Wow,
life
man.
is over.
Yeah. And could you see like features and the
Oh,
color of
yeah.
the creature?
Yeah, it was like a, I'd say like maybe like a caramel brown, but it did have little white flecks in it. And I could see the spots in certain area where it had the like the black rosettes that hyenas have. And
Yeah.
it did have the arch to where the neck and the back meet.
Wow,
So
man.
it definitely looked hyena-ish. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that. I've heard that many times people refer to these things as hyena man. That is something I've heard many times.
Yeah, me too. And as I started doing more research after my encounter, I actually did hear on podcasts that people were running into a hyena man, like you said. And so I knew I wasn't crazy. You know, that was that validation where I'm going, okay, I'm not nuts. I did see a bipedal hyena, but what was it doing there? You know, so that was the
Yeah.
big question that I set out to explore and try to answer.
In that area that you was in, has there been any other sightings, any other reports?
Yeah, and surprisingly, those reports didn't come in till much, much later. Like I started doing investigations in a small town and I started slowly reaching out to other people. And I was actually asking cops in the town. And surprisingly, some of the cops were like, yeah, you know, some of the boys have seen that. And then there were people around town going, hey, I heard you on this show. I heard you saw this. This is what I saw. You know, so I
Wow,
started
man.
getting more and more pieces together like, okay, more people in this area saw the same thing I did. And really,
Yeah.
the big thing that happened is when I used to research, I used to go all over and I'd go out back where like nobody was there. Okay. I wouldn't really run into too many people because it was right out in the middle of the desert. And I used to go into a riverbed where it had, you know, cliffs on each side. So you're kind of closed in. And one day I was walking and I noticed there was like something that somebody made a shrine out of mud and dirt. And on top of the shrine was a silver platter with all these kind of different fruits on there. And I kind of thought that was weird because I'm like, it's the middle of nowhere. You know, I guess they could be feeding the birds or the javelina, but the javelina couldn't reach that. So I went back a couple of weeks later and it was there, but it was like, it was restored. Like they replaced it with more fresh fruit. So I left a note and I asked them, you know, what are you feeding? Is it javelina, coyote, or what? Nothing happened right away, but maybe like a month later when I went back, there was a note under the platter and they said, we're feeding these. And they drew a picture of a bipedal hyena. And they said, be
Wow.
careful, there's more than one. So whoever was feeding these
Interesting.
things knew they were out there.
Yeah. Wow, man, they were gifting these creatures.
Yeah. So
That's
maybe because they were gifting them, maybe that's why it didn't act so violent towards me because it's used to humans.
yeah. Wow, man. That is a cool experience.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, at first I thought it was a curse. You know, I didn't want to take the trash out. I didn't want to go out at night at all. But, you know, maybe like a couple months later, you know, I was like, this is a blessing. You know, how many people get to see something this close?
Yeah,
You know, and
man.
will I ever see this thing again? Probably not. So the fact that I did get to see it one time, it came off as a big time blessing for me.
Do you think these creatures are of flesh and blood, or do you think there's a supernatural element to them?
A little bit of both, actually. I used to be strictly flesh and blood camp, but the more I did my own research, I was starting to realize, well, wait a minute. They can't be here all the time, otherwise we'd find them. So I do think there's a very strong interdimensional slip. You know, I think they do pop in and out and they go into their reality, but they come back into ours too. You know, 'cause I think that's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, if they were flesh and blood and they were, you know, not some kind of alien, for the lack of a better term, we'd find something. We would find something that would be like, okay, they are here. So I think they're both. I really do.
That's where I am at the moment. I feel like there is a natural element to these creatures, but there's also there's science that we don't understand. You know, there's something going on there that we just don't understand. And
I think a better way to put that is like they're flesh and blood when they're here. You know, and I think wherever they go to, are they flesh and blood over there? Who knows? But they are flesh and blood when they come here.
Yeah. Has there been like near where you had your sighting? Has there been footprints found and stuff like that? Any?
I found what I thought were possible footprints. It's not something that I can say definite, but it's something that I'm still looking into. Okay, there we go.
We're back. I don't know what happened. All right.
So like I was saying before we were rudely interrupted, I think they're both flesh and blood and interdimensional, or even like you could call them alien, I guess. The term that me and my girlfriend use is ultra dimensional. You know, like they're maybe here 1 minute and they pop into their own reality. So they're flesh and blood when they come back here. I mean, that would explain why we don't find, you know, babies. We don't see dogman pups, which is always really strange to me.
Yeah.
You know, because if they live here, we're bound to see their pups, are we not? So
true, man. Yeah.
I don't think they're from here.
Yeah. And it would explain why when you get trackers, I know this is more with Bigfoot, when they're tracking the Bigfoot and they're following them, they seem to know the sort of direction they've gone, and then all of a sudden it's disappeared. You know, where's it gone to? I don't know. I mean, there might be a logical explanation, but...
Well, I mean, there's a theory I have with that too. I mean, have you ever heard of tulpas?
No, I'm not sure. What's that?
They're beings that come about because of our energies. We think of them and we give them energy, so we create them in our own life.
Yes.
So I'm kind of wondering if there's different classifications here. If like maybe some people are seeing Bigfoot and Dogman because we think about them so much that we bring them into existence.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Kind of like the Slender Man sort of thing where we've sort of
Actually, that's the perfect example. Yes. You know, because I mean, like creepypasta, all these kids knew about it. So when kids know about it, you know how kids are, kids obsess. So they were thinking about Slender Man. And I wonder if, you know, that's what gave it energy to take
form. Yes. Yeah. A lot of people say that could be when you go into a really haunted house and people go in there and they do these investigations.
Oh, absolutely.
Put all the energy in there. Sometimes we could be creating something as well. Interesting.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is such a cool experience that you've had there. I know it must have been scary at the time, but to see that up close, I mean, that's cool.
Like I said, man, I wouldn't even take out the trash. If it was nighttime and I had trash that had to be taken out, I was like, nope, that can wait till morning. I'm going to go when it's bright daylight. I'm not running into this thing again. So
yeah, don't blame you. Because you said about people reporting it. A lot of people don't report this stuff. They see this stuff, they don't report it officially anywhere.
Yeah, that's the sad thing is like, you know, I always feel like if people see something like this, they should be free to come out and just say, hey, I saw this and not be judged for it. I think it's ridiculous that people are called crazy. That doesn't make sense to me, you know?
Yeah. I think we're getting better as people. You know, I think certainly in people that I talk to, you know, there's a lot more acceptance in these things. You know, anything is possible out there now.
We're getting there, that's for sure.
The topic seems to be growing. It seems to be getting to a place where people are more comfortable to share.
Yeah.
You don't get called crazy for sharing your experiences.
As it should be, you know, I mean, because we live in a fantastic world and fantastic things happen all the time.
For sure.
I don't think if anybody comes forward with an experience that anybody has a right to call them crazy. I think that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure, man. 100%. So have you seen any other cryptids? Have you had any other experiences with cryptids?
Well, I think I saw something that might be a Bigfoot. I was out with a friend who he's a paranormal investigator, and I've known him for years, and we never had the chance to meet up till, you know, maybe like 6 months ago, 7 months ago. He came to Arizona, and the first thing he wanted to do was go cryptid hunting. And I'm like, okay, let's go out and do this. And we were out late. I think it was maybe like 1 or 2 in the morning, and it was really dark. You know, and there was no full moon or anything. So all we had were our flashlights and his dog, a pit bull. And we were up on this ridge, and man, was it dark. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face without the lights. And his pit bull, which was normally quiet, she started whining and getting really nervous. And we were looking around going, well, maybe there's coyotes or something. No, didn't hear anything. And my friend got a little crazy, and he's like, hey, use your phone and play the Ohio Howl. So I was like, all right, well, let's give it a try. So we played the Ohio Howl in 5-minute intervals. We'd play it, turn it off, wait, you know, keep trying it. Well, we played it, and all of a sudden we hear a whoop, whoop. And we're looking around like, this has to be somebody messing with us, you know? So we're walking forward a little bit, and we start hearing this like rhythmic clapping, like a, you know, and we looked around, there's nobody there. But as we took our lights, we shined it in a certain area. We saw these bright, bright glowing eyes that when our lights were near it, it ducked down.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I lowered my light and we can hear like a padding on the ground, like it's punching the ground. And so we decided we're going to leave. Okay. We're going to get out of here. And whatever it was following us. You could hear the footsteps just doof, doof, doof. So it was following us until we got out of there. Yeah. I think that was a Bigfoot. I really do.
That's cool, man. Sorry, did you say where that was, where that took place?
That was in Arizona as well. So, you know, we're near the Mogollon Rim, and the Mogollon Rim has a Mogollon Monster. So Bigfoot is in Arizona. You know, it's not all straight desert like everybody thinks it is. If you go up to the mountains, there's a lush forest up there. There's waterfalls. There's lakes. There's plenty of game to be had. There's deer, quail, you know, rabbits. So, we do have Bigfoot out here.
I've talked to a few people that have seen Bigfoot in Arizona. So, interesting.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. That is a dream of mine to see a Bigfoot one day. I say it quite a lot.
I want it to be during the day. I want to be able to actually see the Bigfoot clearly so can be like, you know, okay, it looked like this. It was this tall, had this color of fur. It did this, it did that. So that way I don't feel like I'm just hallucinating.
Yeah. And get the perfect picture.
Yes.
What we all want.
Oh, man. If I could catch a perfect video or a perfect picture, I'd be like, look what I got.
Yeah. So, people still wouldn't believe it, though, man. That's the thing.
Oh, they wouldn't have to. I'd believe it myself. Yeah. I'd be like, no, I saw it. I got the picture. This is all I need. So bye.
Yeah. No, that's all that matters for sure. But, I mean, you know, you see these videos, and I know there is fake stuff out there, of course, but, you know, every video that goes, you know, most people are like, nah, not having it.
Right. Well, I get being a skeptic. I understand being a skeptic. I'm kind of skeptical myself, but I have that healthy dose of it. I don't believe just anything and everything.
Yeah.
But denying everything outright, I don't understand that. And we'll never get that.
No, man. So that's another cool experience with a possible Bigfoot as well, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Dogman and Sasquatch are linked? Do you think there's a lot of mistaken identity with these creatures?
I do in a way, and it's a very weird kind of theory I have. I don't know if you've ever heard of a Gugwee.
No, what's that, man?
A Gugwee is a Bigfoot that looks more like a baboon in the face. Like, it has a long snout, and it's more aggressive. It behaves far more like it's territorial, and it stalks people. The Beast of Seven Shoots is perhaps the best-known photo of a Gugwee. So I'm wondering if maybe people are seeing Gugwee more often, and they think it's a Dogman because of the snout and the aggressive behavior.
Yeah.
You know, because it does have the tufts on the top of its head that would look like ears, especially if you didn't know what you were looking at. I do wonder if there's some kind of cross misidentification going on here.
Do they say a lot of those creatures are in like the Texas area?
Yeah, there's a lot of reports in Texas, but there's some from Arizona, California, Washington, you know, even Massachusetts. I get some reports from Massachusetts as well. So,
Interesting, man. Going back to your Dogman hyena sighting. What do you think that is? I know that might be a difficult question.
That really is. I mean, I used to think it was a prehistoric hyena because like the prehistoric hyenas used to exist in Nevada and Arizona, but that would make it a species that came back from the dead. You know, that's not very common in nature. I mean, it does happen. It definitely does happen. You have the Lazarus taxon or the ones that come back, but do I think it was a prehistoric hyena? No. No, because I mean, it had the arms that were human shaped, you know, the human length where they hung down past its knees. So I don't really know what this could be. You know, I don't know if it's some kind of evolved species or some kind of thing that's just popping in and out. I don't know.
Yeah. Have you seen any pictures? Are there any pictures out there of similar to what you saw where you can say, yeah, that's what I saw? Have you seen anything?
No, the only thing I've seen is a drawing that I posted on Twitter. And that is the best I've seen. That was like almost spot on, no pun intended, but spot on.
Yeah.
You know, just like the pose, the way it was hunched over, the way the arms were, that was just like, oh my God, that's what I saw. So the fact that somebody drew that, I'm like, somebody else saw this too. So I know for a fact, I am not crazy. I did see this because somebody else saw it too.
Yeah. Would you be able to send that to me? I'll be
Yes,
fascinated to
absolutely.
see that. Or I can go
I
back
sure
on your
could.
Rex and have a look.
Okay, yeah, I can send it to you if you'd like. That's not a problem.
Yeah, interesting, man. Fascinating stuff. You're into the Wendigo and the
Yes.
Skinwalkers. What
Yes.
can you tell us about that?
Well, what got me into the Wendigo and the Skinwalkers is I noticed that on YouTube, they never tell the actual tales from the indigenous people. It's always like, twisted and contorted where it's like, creepypasta version. And so I decided I'm going to dedicate myself to this so I can get their stories out, so I can educate the people and aware them. But what the Wendigo is a spirit that's believed in by the Algonquin, the Cree, and the Ojibwe. And it's a spirit that takes over a person, usually after they enact in cannibalism. That's very taboo in the Algonquin culture, but it's not the only way. You can be cursed. You can actually have nightmares of the Wendigo, and that opens the floodgates. So the Wendigo starts entering your persona, and thus you become possessed, I guess would be the word. And you become a cannibal yourself, where you're always hungering for human flesh. No matter how much you eat, you're still hungry, constantly hungry. And it's a really dark tale that really caught my interest.
Yeah, it's scary stuff, man. I talk to a lot of people that won't even say the name Wendigo or Skinwalker. They're like, they won't say it.
See, that's one of the reasons right there why I was like, skinwalker information has to be known, because the Navajo, the Diné people, never said you couldn't say skinwalker. What they meant was don't say their actual tribal name, the Yinarushi. And when they say don't
Interesting.
speak of them, they mean don't speak ill of them. So don't disrespect them, because if you disrespect them, you're bringing their attention to you, because they now know you believe in them, you don't respect them, so they're going to come at you.
Yeah. Interesting, man. I talked to someone recently that said that these creatures are sort of, they're bound to certain areas and they can't come out of those areas. Is there truth in that?
Yes, especially with the skinwalkers, the Yinarushi, it's what's called the Four Sacred Mountains. And these are four sacred mountains where the Diné, the Navajo, they used to travel there to perform their chants, their ceremonies. So that land, it's powerful. It's, re resonating with the power from the gods, because they believe that the gods gave them the four sacred mountains. So to have a Yinarushi go anywhere but these four sacred mountains, it's just not going to happen. And I've spoken to people from the Navajo tribe that said, yeah, if anybody sees it like in Florida or California, even, it's not Yinarushi.
Have you talked to people that have encountered these creatures?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Oh, yeah.
man.
Yeah. And some of the stories that I've heard, I'm just sitting there going, yeah, you know what? I don't want to see one anytime soon. So I think I'm good on this one.
You mind sharing some of them encounters
Yeah.
or?
One of them that I heard that was probably the scariest, in my opinion, anyway. It's an elderly woman, and she was telling me how when she was a little girl, her grandma was being stalked by a Yinarushi. And this thing was poisoning her livestock. It even poisoned the land so that she couldn't grow any vegetables or anything. She had to be really careful in drinking the water because she didn't know if the water was even tainted. And it was using the images of her dead relatives to mess with her mentally. And she got so worked up that she just uprooted. She took everything she could and just left. And she kept telling her granddaughter, don't go back there. Don't go back there. The Yinarushi is waiting for you. So even the granddaughter, even now, and this happened maybe like 50, 60 years ago to her grandma, she will not go back to that property because she does believe that the Yinarushi is waiting for her. And she even told me, I'll tell you my story, but don't you dare go to that property. Don't go looking for it, because I don't
Yeah.
want you to get hurt by the Yinarushi that's waiting there. Yeah.
Wow. Can you sort of describe what these creatures look like? I know there's different depictions of them and
Well,
drawings and stuff, but
they could look like you or I. That's the thing about a skinwalker, is they're humans that turn into animals after using magical pelts. But when they're not in their animal form, they look like you and I, except for their eyes. Their eyes will have a very strange, almost animal-like quality to them, which is kind of weird, because when they're in their animal form, their eyes look human. But when they're in their human form, their eyes look more animal. And they have kind of like a silvery shine to them, almost like you're looking into a mirror when you're looking into their eyes, because it's like, reflecting like a mirror would.
yeah.
But to know who's a Yinarushi, you wouldn't know unless that individual or those persons wanted you to know.
I've talked to people that have seen animals that have got that described human eyes on cats. I've heard it on cats.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
It's creepy. It's actually really terrifying. It's something that even I'm very careful with. You know, I think when I first started out, I didn't think it was this serious. But as I started talking to more and more people, like I even talked to somebody who's a Lakota, and he's a very good friend of mine. He's a Lakota chief and shaman. And when I first started doing this, he actually reached out to me and he started telling me, you know, be really, really careful because you can attract these things to you. And you're in Arizona, so you're a prime target if you go out there.
Yeah.
You know, and just because of that, when they tell you those stories and they have that fear, not just in their face, but in their voices too.
Yeah.
And you can see their body language that they're not comfortable with this, that they actually truly dread these things. You know, that made me go, okay, there's something to this, because for you guys to be afraid of it shows that I should be afraid of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. They know the power of these creatures and what they're capable of.
Absolutely. And, you know, I listen to their wisdom because there's so much to be found there, man. You know, I don't think people realize it. When you speak to the elder shaman or the elder tribe members, there's just so much to learn. It's like almost listening to a history book, an audio history book. So they got so much to tell you.
Have you had any possible experiences with skinwalkers where you...
Not yet, but I don't really want any. I mean, I know it seems really weird because I'm a researcher and I'm researching this stuff. So seeing one would be like, you know, solidifying the knowledge, but I don't want to see one. I really, really don't, because I don't feel like it would have any good intentions.
Yeah.
And I don't want to mess with that, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Anyone that's had experiences with these creatures, it's never a nice story. That's for sure.
No. Yeah. It never ends well.
No. So what are your thoughts on like Skinwalker Ranch and places like that?
I think Skinwalker Ranch has some truth to it. I think there's a lot of sensationalism going on there, though. You know, and I don't mean that to, you know, anger anybody. I'm not trying to insult anybody here, but I just feel like they really play off the whole dog man and the skinwalker phenomena to really get your attention. You know, I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but start telling the truth a little bit, though.
Yeah. Well, aren't they talking about building a hotel on there or something? Is that?
Yeah.
I read the other day. I mean.
Well, see, that's what I mean is like, you know, it's such an attraction site now. People are so curious about it that everybody and their uncle wants to go see it. But if it were really all that it's hyped up to be, they wouldn't want anybody anywhere near it at all.
Yeah.
So
interesting, man. A lot of people say the surrounding area of Skinwalker Ranch is just as bad, if not worse, in some cases.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if it's an actual skinwalker that put a curse on there, that's really nothing to mess with. That's not something you can take lightly.
So have you got any other skinwalker stories, people that you've met that have
I actually do. I spoke to a young couple who they were driving on a highway here in Arizona, and they said that there was a Yinatalushi chasing after their car. Like it was running alongside their car in human form. They were going over 40 miles and this thing was keeping up. In fact, it was looking in the driver's side window as it's running. It's making eye contact with the driver. And he said that this thing just like it had a stone cold look on its face at first until it realized they were making eye contact. And it just had like he described it as a Joker like grin, and it just turned and ran off into the darkness. And I was like, wow. So it was just trying to scare you. And he's like, yeah, it wanted us to know it was there.
Yeah.
And then wanted to strike some fear into us. And once it knew we were afraid, it disappeared.
Wow, man. That's terrifying.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd do. If I saw somebody running alongside my car at 40 miles an hour, I think I'd be like, yeah, that's not right. I'm out of here. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've heard cases of Dogman doing that as well, running alongside the
too.
Cars. And that's terrifying, man.
Yeah, that is just, jeez. I don't know, man. That's a whole new level of terror for me.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll wrestle with Bigfoot. I'll wrestle with Dogman. But a skinwalker, I don't think so.
Oh, man. Does it worry you looking into this stuff? Obviously, you said about inviting it in and stuff like that.
Absolutely. That's why whenever I go out on my research investigations, I'll have William Nighthawk offer a blessing. Because that way I know I'm having some form of protection, you know, and what people don't seem to realize with the Yinatalushi, they don't recognize newer religions. So like the Diné, they weren't Christian at first. So when you use Christian religion on them, they're going, wait, what is that? You know, they don't really know. So it doesn't have the great effect on them that like people think it would. You've got to go with their own religion.
Yeah. So what sort of things are you doing? You're going to places that you know, high activity, skinwalker activity. What sort of findings are you getting?
Well, I'm getting like, you know, drawings of them. I'm getting that just that feeling. You know how when you go somewhere and it's not right, you get that gut feeling and you're just like, something bad happened here.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot. There's certain areas here that I've gone to where people have said skinwalkers inhabited the place at one time. And I was there maybe like 5 minutes at one point, and I just felt like I shouldn't be here. You know, there's something not right. And I did feel like I was being watched.
Yeah.
You know, and here I was, broad daylight in Arizona, you know, so the sun's super bright. You can see everything. I'm looking around. I'm not seeing anything. I'm like, something's watching me from somewhere. So I left, you know, and you do have to be really careful. You have to know before you go. Know the history, know the people, know anything that's around there, you know, because if you go in unprepared, it's dangerous. You know, you could get hurt. You could even get killed. So you got to know.
Yeah. Do you ever get people trying to stop you doing it? Like, no, I don't think you should get involved.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there was a place I was going to check out where it was known as the Skinwalker Stones. Now, according to the story, the Skinwalker Stones, this is where they can leap into different dimensions. And I went to go check that out, but I actually had somebody who drove all the way from Phoenix to where I am now just to tell me, don't go there. Wow. I have a very bad feeling that if you go, something's going to happen. So I am asking you not to go. So, of course, wow. You know, when somebody from the tribe asks you that, you know, and they don't want you to go, I was like, all right, I won't go. If you have that feeling, I'm not going to test that feeling out. I'm not going to put myself in jeopardy. I won't go.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. I've been in places in haunted locations, or, you know, possible haunted locations where you just get that feeling. You get that weird vibe. You know it's not right. As you say, sometimes you feel like something's watching.
Sometimes it's so bad you almost feel sick to your stomach too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, did you ever get that where you feel physically sick and you're just like, why am I feeling this way right now?
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling like this 10 minutes before. Why is it now?
Yeah. And you got to listen to that and go, you know what?
That's your gut instinct. That's your gut telling you, hey, something's not right. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any paranormal experiences? Ghosts?
I have. Yeah. Oh man. It was creepy because this happened twice, not just one time. I was outside doing a dogman investigation. Actually, it was nighttime. And I had my girlfriend on the phone at the time, and I told her it felt kind of weird that night because, like, something just felt colder that night. And here it was summer, so it shouldn't have felt that cool. And I told her, you know, something's not right here. Something feels really off, but I just dismissed it. And as I was walking into this area where, like, it was along railroad tracks, I started hearing kids laughing, like little kids, not teenagers, but little kids. They sounded like maybe 5 or 6 at the most. And I kept hearing this laughter all over again. And like, it just kept sounding off. And I'm looking around because I had my flashlight and everything. So I'm looking around. I'm not seeing any kids, you know? So I keep walking down and I hear the kids getting louder and louder. And at one point, it sounded like these kids were laughing and running at me. I could hear their footsteps. So I just, you know, I picked up my stuff and I was out. I'm like, I'm done. I don't know what that was. I'm not prepared for this. I'm going home. So
yeah.
I went home next day. I'm out smoking a cigarette with my friend in the desert area. So we're away from the apartments, right? And I'm telling him about what I heard. And he's like, oh, that's crazy, Ryan. You know, why are kids out there? And I told him, I don't think it was kids, not physical kids. I think it was something else. He thought I was a lunatic. And he's like, yeah, whatever, Ryan. All of a sudden, he starts hearing the kids laughing. And so we stop talking and I'm looking around. I start hearing the kids laughing again.
Oh, man.
And we went to this area that was like, it was an embankment, right? And we look down, we hear what sounds like kids trying to make their way up the hill. And their laughing is getting louder and louder. So we split. That was it for me. I was like, I'm out of here. You can stay if you want to. I was gone, man. I literally ran away like, boom, I was the Flash.
And wow.
He was telling me, he's like, you know, there was something out there, dude. There was some voices out there. Something is out there, Ryan. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Man, that's scary. There's something about kid ghosts, like children. Yeah. And ghosts, there's something terrifying about that. I think of the black-eyed children.
Yes. Oh, God. If I ever run into one of those, man, that's it. I'm going to quit and be like, I'm not going ever again.
That's it.
I'm done.
I'm done with a paranormal.
Right. There's a couple of things I don't want to run into. A Wendigo, a skinwalker, a goat man, and black-eyed kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess with any of those. And if they don't mess with me, I'll be really appreciative of that. So,
for sure, man. A black-eyed kids, I think, is one of the scariest. You know, when I hear, you know, encounters of black-eyed children, man, that, I mean, they're normally, it's the same sort of thing in it, the knock on the door or the knock on the car, and they want to get in like vampire sort of.
Yeah.
They want to get into your house, and, you know, you never hear the story of if someone lets them in. You know, it's always
right.
know, just get out of there or not let them in.
I'm not going to be the first one to let them in. That's for sure. I have no, absolutely not.
Yeah, man. But you heard like the voices of children.
Yeah.
Surrounding.
Yeah, I mean, they were laughing like they were having this great old time. Now, I don't know if maybe kids' spirits were just, you know, laughing at the grown men getting scared by them, or yeah, if it was something sinister. I don't know. I mean, I didn't really look into it too much. I probably should, but it was just a little too creepy for me, man. When you're out at night, you hear kids laughing and there's no kids out there. That's when you're like, okay, yeah, no.
Mm. Yeah, that's not cool. Was that the same place? Was that in the same place where you...
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of supernatural activity in that area.
Yeah. That's scary. Mm-hmm. That is a scary experience.
I don't want it to happen ever again. I don't want to hear kids laughing in the night ever again. No, no, thank man. You.
No. And you was on your own the first night that that happened.
Yeah. Yep. And just to hear them running at you. I mean, when somebody's running up on you during a day, it's kind of nerve-wracking. But when something's running up on you at night and you can't see,
yeah,
that's just like, oh, wow. You're done at that point.
Yeah, man, that's scary. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other paranormal experiences?
No, that was it so far. So knock on wood, you know? So,
yeah, yeah. Have you seen anything, shadow figures, stuff like that?
No shadow figures yet. No shadow figures yet. I think I'm kind of testing my limits with the dog man and stuff right now. So
yeah, for sure, man. Can I ask you about the Wendigo and the Skinwalker? Is because there's a lot of, you know, these get put in the same category quite a lot. But is there a difference between Wendigo and Skinwalker?
Oh, yes. World of difference. World of difference. The Wendigo is Algonquin, Cree, and Ojibwe, like I said earlier, but it's way up in Canada. Okay. So you have not just like cultural differences, but a distance, you know, because you got Canada. Skinwalkers are Arizona, Texas, New Mexico. So there's a great distance from the tribes. But Wendigo is a demon. It's an entity that overtakes a person, turns them into a monster, essentially. Skinwalker is a shaman that learns these dark arts, and they learn how to chant. They learn how to make this corpse powder. Corpse powder is this thing that they say is made from the bones of babies, dead babies. And this corpse powder, if they blow it on you, will either paralyze you or it will slowly poison you. So yeah, there's a huge, huge, huge difference between Wendigo and Yinadushi. The two are not even in the same category.
When you see pictures of the Wendigo and stuff, they've got the horns, mm-hmm, and terrifying, man. I do not want to see one of them.
You know, that's another thing that's misconceptualized, though, is the appearance of the Wendigo. Okay. When people think Wendigo, they think stag-headed creature with fur and, you know, long claws. No. How the Algonquins actually pictured them was something like you and I, except very emaciated, very, very pale skin, usually bald. And they get so hungry that they chew on their own fingertips or they chew their own lips. So they kind of look like a ghoul or a zombie even.
Was it the Slender Man? Not the Slender Man. I'm trying to think of it. There's the a rake. Cryptid. The Rake. That's it. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
That's what it would actually look more like. Just not with the black eyes or the long fingers. You know, it kind of resembles a human that's just really wasting away very quickly. And they turn into things where, you know, they just have no humanity left. That once a Wendigo takes hold, whoever that person was isn't that person anymore. And they'll feast on women, children, doesn't matter, but they're always hungry. They're constantly hungry. So they're always seeking out new prey.
Interesting stuff, brother. Very interesting. So what did, I know this is a difficult question, but I like to know what people's thoughts are and what these things are, where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, as you said earlier, with the Dogman, they're a part of our world, but they're also in another realm, whatever it is, where they're coexisting? Do you think that's what's going on with the Wendigo and the Skinwalkers?
I think the Wendigo is an entity. It's some kind of, I don't know, I'd say maybe spirit, nature spirit, maybe a winter spirit that's kind of confined to the areas of Canada, maybe even Minnesota. Skinwalkers, I think we live in such a magical world that the skinwalkers are people that have learned how to tap in to that magic. You know, I mean, here we are modern day. We've really forgotten a lot of things. Okay. We're so reliant on cell phones and laptops that we kind of forgot the magic that the world has. And I think Yinadushi tapped into that. And they have never forgotten that the earth itself, that nature itself, is filled with power. And they're plugged right into it where modern day humans are unplugged. Yeah. You know, so I think that they're kind of above us in a way. They kind of realize some stuff that we forgot.
Do you feel that as humans in general, we're getting closer spiritually? You know, we're getting closer to where we was, or do you think we're going to get further away from it?
I think we're getting further away.
Okay.
You know, because I mean, we're look at, you know, you go down the street, you got people looking at their phones rather than looking around them.
Yeah.
You know, we got computers and everything electronic in every household. How many people really go out there and connect with nature like we used to? You know, I mean, and we don't really have to because we got food delivery nowadays. You know, we got fast foods. We don't have to go out and hunt like we used to have to.
Yeah.
So I think the older human beings from back in those days, they're more connected than we ever were. This is why the tribes are so much more connected, because they still adhere to those older ways.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any experiences with UFOs?
I did. Actually, I've seen lights here in Sierra Vista where I can't explain what they are. You know, and I know military people where even they've seen it too. And they were like, yeah, no, that wasn't an aircraft. So I don't know what that was, Ryan. So I have seen UFOs here.
Can you tell us a little bit what that looked like?
Yeah. I mean, when I was out with a friend one time, we were actually using his telescope. And I noticed that there was this weird object that was shifting between red and then orange. And I asked him, because he's, you know, he's former military. I asked him, is there any aircraft that does those colors? And he was like, not that I know of. So he was watching it, and we saw it just like moving along straight for a minute. It was moving kind of slow. Then it just stopped. It actually stopped for just a minute. And after he took out his laser pointer, he was kind of messing around with his laser pointer, it just shot straight up.
Oh, wow.
And disappeared completely. And he's like, yeah, no, that wasn't an aircraft, Ryan. I think I made it mad. So he went inside, and I was just like, wow, man.
Wow, man. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. How big was that? Roughly. I know it's difficult when you're looking at something in the...
Oh, God, I can't even really gauge it. I'd say, yeah, like, you know, the size of the helicopter lights that you see?
Yeah.
I'd say about that size.
Interesting.
Around there somewhere, anyway.
Interesting, man. How far are you from the Phoenix Lights?
I'm only about an hour and a half away.
Wow.
I'm not far. I don't know. So... But no, I'm not far from Phoenix at all. I mean, living where I live, you know, I got Tucson on one side, Phoenix, and all these other places around me. And it's really ideal to go and look for these paranormal and cryptid things because you get so many reports.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff, brother.
Yes, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
Well, we're at a moment where it feels the paranormal world is always amazing. It's always cool to look into, but it just feels like at the moment there's, I don't know, there's something special going on. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just me or.
I think it's an awareness. I honestly feel like there's an awareness going on.
Yeah.
You know, people are waking up to the fact that, like, our parents used to tell us monsters aren't real, but now we're starting to realize monsters are real. People are seeing them. So y'all lied to us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot more to this world than we're told.
Yes, it's a fantastical world, man. And I think people are starting to realize more and more there's stuff that we used to believe in that we need to believe in again. And I think that's what's happening. I think a lot of people are waking up to that. And I think that's why we're seeing, you know, all this paranormal, all this UFO, all this cryptid stuff, because people aren't buying into the bull crap of it's a mundane, boring life.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And once you see something, man, once you accept that there's more, chances are you're going to see more.
Right.
I think there's something to that.
Yeah, there's that old saying that once you see one, you're going to start seeing others. And I firmly believe that. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Are you ready for another Dogman sighting?
I am. At this point, yeah. I mean, I want to see it again with maybe more people, though, so those people can share in that experience and say, yeah, Ryan, you weren't crazy after all. I saw the same thing you did. So, you know, now we can go out and share this story together, and people will know more than one person saw this.
I want to ask you quickly, how wide was the Dogman that you saw? I know I should have asked this when
he actually wasn't a huge build. I know a lot of people see the really, really big ones, but if I had to compare him to a human build, I'd say like basketball player.
Okay.
You know, like he had the lean muscle, not the, you know, the wrestler or football type muscle, but he did have, you know, some tone to him, but he wasn't overly huge.
And was he covered in fur?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Wow. It was very interesting. I mean, it's still burned into my mind. I can still see him standing under that tree and staring at me. It's kind of like, ooh.
Yeah, I bet, man. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff, man. Ryan, thank you so much for sharing your experiences.
It's my pleasure.
Really enjoyed talking to you, man. Super interesting.
Likewise, bro. Likewise.
Keep us posted if anything else happens, or
Oh, absolutely.
you
I
see
mean,
the dog man again.
I'll be starting up my own channel again over on YouTube, and I'll put it on other platforms. But during the summer, I actually plan on doing some Skinwalker investigations and some Bigfoot investigations as well. And I'm going to actually show those on my channel. I want to show people how it's
Awesome.
done and what I do. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, for sure, man. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Absolutely. You can find me on Facebook under Ryan Paul Tremblay. You can find me on Twitter under the same name. You can find me on Instagram under that cryptid Ryan. So if you want to reach out and talk to me, I absolutely love conversation and interaction. It's something I encourage, and it's the highlight of my day. I love answering questions. I love talking to people about different subjects. So, reach out to me. Send me a request.
Awesome. You're a cool guy, man. I've enjoyed
Thank you.
talking to you. Thank you for
Likewise.
sharing your experiences, and I hope
Pleasure.
this is the first of many conversations.
It better be.
100%, man.
All right,
Thank you
brother.
very much, brother.
My joy. All right, you have a great day.
Something's in your room. You can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway, and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer. What?